This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Send me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life these days. And I'm going to jump right in to welcome our guests. Today we welcome back Jan Coleman to the program. She is a former porn actress who has spent the past 17 years exposing the lies and damage of the sex industry while advocating for its victims. Jan is a licensed marriage and family therapist intern, an ordained chaplain, and she's the intervention leader for the Christian anti-sex trafficking organization Kainos, who is located in Germany, where she lives and is calling in from. Jan just released her new book, Unveiling Resilience, which is available on Amazon. Jan, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Hey, what's your weather like in Germany right now?
Oh, snowy and cold and very, very gloomy.
70 degrees here in Arizona and sunny.
Yeah.
So you've shared your story before, and our listeners can hear it on Spotify. But for those who don't know your story, can you take a couple minutes and give us kind of the background of your experience in the porn industry?
Sure. So I was in the adult film industry, the porn industry, from 2006 to 2007, about a year and a half. And during that time, I suffered tremendously at the hands of porn producers. I was sex trafficked because I was coerced and forced into doing, hardcore sex scenes and acts that I had never agreed to. I was put under a lot of pressure to do these various acts after I had already agreed to do something. They would change it when I got to the set. And usually the set would consist of all men. And so there's just a lot of coercion and fraud that goes on behind the scenes of the sex industry that people are not aware of. A lot of coercion, force, manipulation, scare tactics, things of that nature. Basically, I came to just a point in my life where I was ready to commit suicide after suffering severe trauma in the industry, because I had already been victimized and traumatized as a child. I had been molested by my god sister at the age of 10, and then my virginity was violently taken by rape at the age of 13. And so, you know, a lot of people who are actually in the industry suffer the same kind of trauma as children, as young adults. And so, you know, it just came to a point where I didn't recognize myself anymore when I looked in the mirror. And I just got down on my knees and I started crying out to God for help. And after a couple hours of just tearful, you know, gut-wrenching crying out to the Lord, I got on my computer and I searched Pornhelp and found my mentor at the time, Shelley Lubin, who immediately started reaching out to me with gifts of love, nurturing me in scripture, and just really encouraging me to continue to go on and fight the good fight. And if it weren't for her in that moment being my guardian angel, I definitely wouldn't be here today.
Mm. Is it difficult to break out of the porn industry once you're into it?
It's extremely difficult for many reasons. One of the most primary, or I should say the primary reason, at least what I've encountered personally working with women who have been in the industry and men, I don't want to exclude the guys because they go through a lot in porn as well, is that the financial bind that they're in just keeps them trapped, and it becomes this vicious cycle of debt bondage or servitude where, yes, I could get out, and yes, I could get another job, but then I'm not going to have this quick money coming in. And what else am I good for, really? It's a mentality issue. They just have little self-worth and belief in themselves, and life has been pretty vicious to them, the majority of them. I can't speak for all of them. Up until that point where, you know, they made that decision to get into the porn industry. And so they're just trapped mentally and emotionally, financially, you know, but also there is that force from porn producers and the threat of, if you leave, I will ruin your life, which is what happened to me as well on a number of occasions with different porn producers. They knew my weaknesses. They knew my vulnerability. My descent into that darkness, into the porn industry, was, you know, just primarily based off of the desperate need to feed my children, to house them. I want people to understand that I wasn't using my trauma as an excuse. I was working. I was trying to go to school. I was raising three kids on my own. Their father, my ex-husband, was not helping me support them. I was a very young mom, and I was trying to do the best that I could. And then I just got trapped. And, you know, before I knew it, I turned around, and like I said, I didn't recognize who I was anymore. But that's also because they use tactics like drug and alcohol use on sets. They always film you to say, to make you say that you're not under the influence of anything while you're on set, but yet that's not true, because the minute that the camera is off and you've signed that little consent form, they're offering you every kind of drug you can think of under the sun. It's readily available. So, like I said, there's many different reasons why people find it hard to leave that industry.
So are a lot of the actors and actresses drunk or stoned while they're filming those?
Oh, absolutely. I can't think of a film that I did where I wasn't under the influence of something, whether it be drugs and alcohol or alcohol at least, because you want to numb yourself mentally and physically to the pain that you're about to experience, especially for women. We're choked, we're slapped, we're called degrading names, we're told to hold very uncomfortable positions for extended periods of time so that they can get the right lighting or, you know, freeze frame pictures. So your body goes through a lot. And, you know, you don't want to be there in that moment when that's happening.
So the illusion is that they're having the time of their life when they're filming those things. So that's not the truth then, right?
No, not at all. I mean, I've probably met, out of the hundreds and hundreds of people, men and women, again, that I have met, spoken to, or worked with, I can maybe think of a handful of women who were adamant about, this is my choice, this is what I love to do, this is what I really want to do, and they were serious about that. You know, but the rest were under some kind of illusion that, you know, going into the porn industry was going to give them a better life, was going to make a way out of their circumstance and out of the situation that they were seeking assistance from. You know, it's an escape in many ways, but people don't really understand the extent of what they're getting themselves into when they enter porn.
I've been told that covens will sometimes cast spells in coordination with porn movies when they're being filmed. Have you heard something like that?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Sure. I've heard that covens, you know, covens of witches, cast spells in coordination with some porn movies as they're being filmed. Have you heard anything like that?
The only time I heard something similar to that was when we went to San Francisco one time on an outreach, and there were active witches, and the Church of Satan was very active there as well. And one of the women who was actually on the porn set, they had this gigantic snake, too, that they were you know, showcasing and asking people if they wanted to sit with and you know, have it wrapped around them. And Shelley and I at the time actually were like, yeah, sure, you know, we'll defeat the snake. And so we put the snake around us. But we were talking to this one woman who had a booth adjacent to us, and she was very much an adamant witch. And she was trying to, like, get me to sit down with her so that she could talk to me about my future and all of those things. And I was like, I'm not interested, you know. But we tried to share the love of the Lord with her as well, and she didn't want to have any part of that. So, you know, I think in this industry, it's so inundated with evil, and it's so demonic, and it's just satanically saturated, honestly. So it wouldn't surprise me, although I couldn't put a number on how many, that there would be witchcraft going on.
Mm. And I bring this up to help people understand, sometimes when we think about porn, they just think about the product and not the spirits, that the spiritual force behind it. So when somebody's viewing pornography, it's not spiritually neutral, right? You're actually watching a product that's giving the enemy ground, right?
Right, exactly.
And it destroys those who make it and those who view it or participate in it. So let's fast forward to today. And I think you're aware of OnlyFans, which is a $6 billion organization. They've grown quickly, and I think you're aware with a woman named Lily Phillips, who recently attempted to have sex with something like 100 men. What is your take on that?
Yeah, so I actually wrote an article in Women Alive magazine about that, and my heart for her is just broken because you know, she was subjected to much of the same thing that I had to undergo, and I only filmed at my biggest scene with 25 men. That degrading experience is extremely traumatizing, and it's not something that you can ever really move past. And mind you, I have been fighting, you know, the evil and just the untruth of the porn industry for 17 years, right? But even though I've gotten a lot of help from pastoral care and personal counseling and all of those things, you know, it's still something that I, when I think about it, I shudder, right? Just because you're giving yourself away to all of these men. And, you know, it's not an innocent act, right? We know that. But it's so much more spiritually, mentally, emotionally than just that physical act. And that's not something that she's going to easily forget. And so it's no wonder that she would feel the way that she did when she spoke about, you know, how hard it was for her to endure that. Because it's not something that she was just speaking to physically. It was the emotional aspect of what she had just put herself through. It was the mental aspect of what she had put herself through. I don't think that most people, porn consumers, understand the mental and emotional and physical toll that porn performers have to undergo on a daily basis, multiple times throughout the day, because they're not just filming once usually. They're filming multiple times throughout the day and usually, you know, multiple days throughout the week. And so, you know, it's just a constant traumatization every day, re-traumatization every day. And they say that they can handle it. You know, they put up a good front, but really inside they're dying.
Mm. I haven't followed the whole story. Did she originally do this for a publicity stunt, or what brought this to pass?
She did. Yeah, it was definitely, you know, she really wanted more people to be attracted to her account. And, you know, so this is something that she had promised her fans, but she immediately regretted doing it. And, you know, it's something that she was saying that, you know, she would never really do again. But the damage is done. You can't undo the damage once it's already done. You know, not just her reputation for a future. Like, if she wants to go out there and get a job and she's been publicly recognized as this person who slept with 101 men, because even if you think that you're like a small-time, you know, porn actress, this stuff follows you. Because even after I got out of the industry myself, I went to go work at, you know, a coffee shop and I got recognized. I was grocery shopping in my neighborhood and I got recognized. And this was years after the fact, right? Because the porn company has a great way of manipulating the video footage or pictures that you've signed your life away. You know, you've given them access to this for however long they feel that they need to use it or want to use it, so that they can, you know, re-advertise it as if it's new material. And it's not new material, right? I personally was out when this happened to me, being recognized in the grocery store for, you know, several years. But yet, because my content is still out there and being resubmitted as new content and as if I'm still in the industry, it's hard to escape. And so this is something that even if she wants to escape it, it's going to take a lot of hard work for her to be able to do that.
You said you were recognized. What, were people making comments or looks, or what did that look like?
So when I was working at the coffee shop, a guy came up to me. He had been sitting at his computer at one of the tables staring at me for a while, and then he came up to me and he's like, "I know that you've been in adult films," like just very bluntly. I'm at work. I was frozen in that moment, didn't know what to do. I just kind of put my finger to my mouth like, "Please be quiet, you know, I'm at work." And so he kept coming back to that coffee shop to the point where I was just like, I don't want to continually go through this. Like, he wasn't saying something to me every time he came to the coffee shop, but he was just there, just staring at me. And so I ended up quitting. And then in the grocery store, several years after the fact, I had a guy who was following me around the store. And then I finally stopped him, turned around, and said, "Why are you following me?" And he said, "You were in films, right?" And I just was like, "I'm not going to go there." I'm like, "That is not who I am anymore. I haven't been that person for a very long time." And then still he kept on, "Can I get your autograph? Can I take a picture with you?" And I was like, "Absolutely not. This is not who I am. You know, this is not what I want to continue to be recognized as." So, you know, for women who are even more out there, who have a wider audience than I did, you know, it's going to be extremely hard for them to ever escape this reality. And when you're a young woman and you're trying to build your life after porn, that's devastating. It's devastating that people won't just let you live your life, won't just let you be. You're forever marked as this porn actress.
So let's look at Kainos for a moment. Tell us what Kainos does.
So Kainos is a Christian nonprofit that was originated in 2014 when our founder recognized the desperate need for women to be reached in Germany, because in Germany, prostitution, brothels, things of that nature are legal here. But just because something is legal doesn't mean that it's operating legally, just like the porn industry. And so what we do here is we go into the brothels, we go into strip clubs, and we reach out to the women inside, you know, to show them genuinely the love of Christ, because we do love them. We see them as a person, right? They're not an object. We know that it's a rarity for somebody to go in there and express that, "Hey, like, I'm here just to talk to you. I'm here if you want prayer." And many of them do. And so it's amazing to be able to sit with these women inside of a brothel or inside of a strip club and just sit down and pray with them, talk to them about their family, you know, find out their heart and their need, and really try to help them with that. We do also, like, look for signs of trafficking. If a girl voluntarily says, "I want to leave this industry," we will help her do that. We do have a transitional housing program, and we also offer educational programs and even language programs so that they can learn the German language if they choose to stay here, because many of the women don't want to go back to their country of origin because it's so, you know, problem saturated. It's so they're so impoverished there. And, you know, most of the women that we actually reach out to, I want to say at least 80 to 90% of them are Romanian. And, you know, that's why we also went on a missions trip earlier last year in March to see the kind of situation, the problems that they were dealing with in Romania that would, you know, cause them to be at such a risk to, you know, fall into the trap of the sex industry here. And we're actually going on another mission trip back to Romania, March 17th through the 23rd, to continue to do some more mission outreach work there and help them on a greater level. So, you know, it's been difficult. And I've shared my story a couple times, but when we have a woman who says, you know what, I'm ready to leave, that is such a huge deal. I get chills just thinking about it because that's happened a couple times. And whether they follow through or not, we're planting seeds, right? We're planting seeds of God's goodness, of God's love, of God's freedom and salvation that otherwise wouldn't be planted if we weren't making that choice to actually go into these dark places. And so to see how God is using that has just been transformative in my own life, as well as in the lives of these women.
Mm. I want to key on a phrase you used. You said the women are persons, they're not objects.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a major part of this. It's body worship at some level. Talk more about this and how women feel when they're treated like objects.
Well, I mean, nobody wants to feel lesser than they are, right? And the problem with women who are already in, you know, this kind of work, if you can call it work, right? I use that term loosely, is that they've already been degraded so much in their life. They've already been dehumanized. But what happens once they get into this industry is that that happens on a much greater scale, on a much greater level. They're objects, right, for trading. They have to spend their days every day, day in and day out, you know, being purchased, being bought. And because of that, they have no freedom. They have no choice. They have no voice. They have to do exactly whatever their client wants them to do, or they won't be allowed to continue to work in that brothel or that strip club, right? And when you are so close to being homeless or, you know, not eating or having the basic necessities to survive every day, you're going to do that, right? Because they feel like they have no other choice. It really comes down to them not feeling great about themselves, not feeling like they can do anything other than what they are doing right now. Mm. But these men, they go in there and that's what these women are to them. They're just nothing more than something that can be bought and sold and traded, like cattle, honestly. And that's just so dehumanizing. It's horrible when people adopt this kind of mentality that a human life is nothing, is worth little, so little to them, right, that they can just go in there and for, I don't know, 50 euro or 100 euro, whatever the price may be for whatever they're asking. You know, they can just get whatever they want and not think twice about it at the end of the day. What it's causing, what it's creating in the life of the person that they just victimized, because it is victimization. And I want to make that very clear. This is not something that, you know, oh, this is business and, oh, it's legal, so it's okay. No, this is victimization. And when you are going in there, that's exactly what you're doing. You're exploiting these women. You're using these women. You're making a victim out of them.
Hmm. I almost want to weep just listening to you right now. So,
yeah.
Jan, we have a minute left. Anything you want to say?
Just if you're in this lifestyle, there is hope. I'm somebody who survived it, who has thrived since it, and who is using my story to go back in and to help other people, and you can do that too. And if you're somebody who's consuming porn, you need to stop because you're causing further victimization, right? It's not an innocent act. If you're buying porn, then you're helping to support this kind of industry, and it's criminal. So please stop. Mm.
Amen, my sister. I love what you had to say, and thank you for sharing your heart. This was wonderful what you had to say on a very difficult and tough subject. And so, my friends, we're going to continue this conversation with Jan next week, so I encourage you to come back. And Jan, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So thank you, my friends, and we'll see you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.